إن إبراهيم كان أمةً قانتًا لله حنيفًا، ولم يكن من المشركين، شاكرًا لأنعمه، اجتباه وهداه إلى صراطٍ مستقيم، وآتيناه في الدنيا حسنة، وإنه في الآخرة لمن الصالحين. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable ulama and respected brothers, it is indeed a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has blessed us with the opportunity yet again to witness the month of Dhul Hijjah. This is the final month in the Islamic calendar. It is a month from the Ashur-e-Hurum, from the sacred months. And it is also a month, the first 10 days and nights of which have been indeed blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many mufassirin are of the opinion that in the verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath on the 10 nights, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ, when Allah takes an oath on the 10 nights, it is in reference to the first 10 nights of Dhul Hijjah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who will maximize on this opportunity. Many are those who were here last year who witnessed this month or these first 10 days and nights who are not here with us today. We don't know, we have no guarantee if we will be blessed with another opportunity to witness the month of Dhul Hijjah or to witness this first 10 days and nights of Dhul Hijjah. May Allah grant us the tawfiq to take maximum benefit inshaAllah. Let us at least make that intention and thereafter have hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill that expectation and that intention. If we look at this month of Dhul Hijjah, we will see that there are two acts of worship. There are two ibadat which are specific to this month. The first being Hajj and the second being Qurbani. Now if we look at both of these acts of worship, both of these ibadat, we will indeed come to the conclusion that in these actions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us to commemorate and emulate practices and actions of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So basically both Hajj and Qurbani are linked to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and his life story. He is the man of the moment, he is the man of the season when it comes to the month of Dhul Hijjah. Now annually, very dutifully, we carry out these actions. Those who go for Hajj with the best of intentions. Those who perform Qurbani, they sacrifice the animal with the best of intentions. But annually, as we emulate and commemorate these actions of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, have we ever pondered and reflected what are the lessons behind these actions of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam? And that will be the theme of our talk today, that what does the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam teach us? Because Allah mentions in the Quran, certainly there is a profound lesson for you in the life of Ibrahim. So instead of it being yet another Hajj, where people go for Hajj, we anticipate their return, we look forward to their return, yet another Qurbani, where we go seeking the animals, looking for the right price and sacrificing the animals, this ought to be a different Hajj season. This ought to be a different Qurbani season. In the sense that this year, inshallah, we are going to ponder and reflect over the spirit of Qurbani and Hajj, over the lessons that we learn from the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Now naturally and obviously in these few moments, we cannot do justice to the discussion on the various lessons that we can learn from the life of Khalilullah Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So in the next few moments, I'm going to endeavor to just highlight a few aspects of his life and the relevant lessons that we learn therefrom. Ulama mentioned that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was preaching the message of Tawheed and oneness to his people. And after a number of years, none had believed in him except his wife Sarah radiallahu anha, who was his cousin, and his nephew Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. So as is narrated in Surah Saffat, he mentioned to the people, Inni dhahibun ila rabbi sayahdeen. I am going to my Rabb who will soon guide me. Scholars mean he actually was trying to tell them that I am going to make hijrah. I am going to emigrate to such a place where I can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as I ought to worship him. So scholars write, he went through various parts of Iraq and finally he settled in Sham. And at that time in his life, although he was already now starting to grow old, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had not been blessed with any children by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he makes a dua which Allah has narrated in Surah Saffat, Rabbi habli min as-salihin, that oh Allah, grant me pious offspring, grant me a pious son. Immediately Allah responds to his dua. In the next verse Allah says, فَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِغُلَامٍ حَلِيمٍ, we gave him the glad tidings of a tolerant son. Now that's the first point I want to make today. That when it comes to our children, we have not learned the lesson from the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. We are always reactive. We never take the initiative. We don't dare to be proactive. Even before his wife could conceive, already Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is making dua, Rabbi habli minas salihin. Allah, grant me a pious son, grant me pious progeny. Today, prior to marriage, nobody makes this dua. On the occasion of marriage, we're so caught up in the extravagance and the frivolities of the day that both the husband and wife, the newlyweds, forget to make dua for pious offspring. When the good news comes that the daughter-in-law has conceived, nobody dares to make dua for pious children. And even thereafter, no matter how old your son or your daughter may be, they are still, after all, your son or your daughter. So whilst we lament the state of our youth, whilst we can go on bemoaning and complaining and lamenting about the various actions that the youth are involved in, what have we done from our side? Why haven't we been proactive? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about various du'as made on behalf of offspring in the Quran. And the consequences thereof and the result thereof. Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam makes du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rabbi habli min ladunka dhurriyatan tayyibah. That, oh Allah, from your side grant me pious offspring. When he makes the du'a, then Allah grants him the son, the caliber of Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam. In the 19th juz of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the ibadur rahman, the true slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the qualities of ibadur rahman and the true slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah mentions, وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنَ. The ibadur rahman have this quality that they make this dua. Oh Allah, make our spouses and our children such that they become the coolness of our eyes. And Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi explains, what is the meaning of coolness to our eyes? He says it means you will see them obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers, today how many of us can claim that I see my son or my daughter more in the obedience of Allah rather than in the disobedience of Allah? So whilst we can blame them, we can blame the climate, we can blame the atmosphere, we can blame the surroundings, it's about time we blame ourselves for not being proactive. So number one, you need to make dua for pious offspring. And then when you make dua for your children, again we learn a lesson from the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam. In the 13th juz of the Quran, Allah makes mention of the dua of Ibrahim. As he's leaving Makkatul Mukarramah, his young son is left behind, his wife is left behind, totally deserted. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ جَعَلْ هَذَا الْبَلَدَ آمِنًا. His first dua, oh Allah, make this a secure place, a peaceful place. Why? Scholars write, if you don't have security, then you cannot do justice to your deen, neither to your dunya. Then he says, وَجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَن نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ. Allah, save me and my progeny from idol worship. So immediately he makes dua for the spiritual well-being of his child. Then two verses down the line he says, رَبِّ إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِن ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ. That I'm leaving them in a place which is uncultivated. You cannot cultivate anything here. فَجَعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ. Make the hearts of some people inclined towards the residents of Makkatul Mukarramah and my progeny. وَرْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. And grant them not only the fruits that come from trees, but the fruits of every article that is manufactured. And we see the acceptance of that dua. Everything reaches Makkatul Mukarramah. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. So that they can be grateful unto you, O Allah. So whilst Islam does not begrudge you that you make dua for the material prosperity of your progeny, the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam says you give priority to making dua for the spiritual prosperity of your offspring. So that's the first lesson that I want to draw and highlight from the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. It's about time we start making dua for our children. The father's dua, the mother's dua is readily accepted by Allah. And it's about time we start making dua in order of priority regularly and perpetually. The second lesson from the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, which I wish to highlight, is one of compliance, submission, and total compliance to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions, falamma balagha ma'ahu as-sa'ya qala ya bunayya inni ara fil manami anni adbahuk fandur madha tara. Allah blesses Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam with a son when he's approximately 100 years old. Today we cannot even dream to live up to that age. Imagine how old this man was. Allah blesses him with a son. That son, or any son for that matter, is more of a nuisance to the parents in the initial stages. You have to look after them. Now Allah says, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ. When he reaches the age when he can run around, scholars write approximately 13 years old. Now he is no longer a burden to his parents. He can now be of benefit to his parents who are very old. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows that dream to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam where he's slaughtering his son. Let's pause for a moment. The Mufassirin asked the question, why didn't Allah in the conventional method send the command with Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam that go tell Ibrahim that he must slaughter his son, this is my command. Look at the reason that the ulama give, brothers, what a lesson for us to learn. They say, had Jibreel come, there would have been no room for interpretation. It would have been a very categoric command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would have no choice but to do it. But when Allah showed it to him in a dream, and we know the dream of a Nabi is tantamount to wahi and revelation, then there was room for interpretation in such a way that he could have saved the life of his child. In other words, there was room for him to look for a loophole. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to make it manifest for humankind up to the day of Qiyamah, that although we gave Ibrahim an opportunity to look for a loophole, he did not opt for the loophole. He opted to submit to the command of Allah, notwithstanding the fact that it was profoundly difficult upon his nafs. Today when the ulama say this is the ruling, then we jump from scholar to scholar looking even for the smallest of loopholes. How can I ensure that I find some way out so my nafs can be satisfied? Ibrahim alayhi salam, his only son, he's extremely old, but he was shown in a dream. He could have looked for loopholes, but he understood this is what Allah wants and this is what I'm going to do for the pleasure of Allah. So he comes to his son, Inni arafil manami anni adbahuk. Young man, I see myself slaughtering you in a dream. Fandur mada tara, what is your opinion? Now scholars write, if Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam understood that this was the command of Allah, then when it comes to the command of Allah, there is no consultation. Why is he consulting with his son and asking his opinion? We don't consult if we want to perform salah because it's a categoric command of Allah. So why is he consulting when he understood that this is what Allah wanted from him? The Mufassirin give the answer to the very question that they have raised. Ibrahim alayhi salam was not asking his son, should I comply with the command of Allah? He wanted to test the reaction of his son. And Allahu Akbar, what a reaction he got. His son responds, if'al ma tu'mar. My father, you do as you have been commanded. Satajiduni insha'allahu min as-sabirin. Allah willing, you'll find me from amongst those who will adopt patience. 13-year-old boy, what charming manners. What a charming and what a outstanding reaction from a 13-year-old boy. But my ustad used to tell us, don't marvel over the reaction of Ismail. Marvel over the parenthood of Ibrahim and Hajar alayhim as-salatu was-salam that resulted in such a reaction. What degree of tarbiyah, what degree of nurturing, what degree of spiritual upbringing that they put into Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. That first and foremost, my father, do as you have been commanded. He has so much knowledge that he understands his father's dream to be tantamount to revelation. Then he tells his father, one is for me to accept. The other is, satajiduni insha'allahu min as-sabirin. I'm willing to go beyond the call of duty. He tells his father, look at the humility of this 13-year-old boy. He doesn't say, well, I'm brave, I'm strong, I'm willing to give up my life. He says, inshallah, if Allah wills. Today, the average 13-year-old doesn't even have that much humility through which he can respect his own mother who gave birth to him. This 13-year-old boy says, inshallah. Notwithstanding the amount of confidence that we may have, notwithstanding our capacity or ability or capability, we learn from this young boy that no matter what you intend to do, you subjugate it to the wish of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Scholars write, and for those who understand the Arabic language, they'll appreciate this even more, that he doesn't say, I will be a sabir, I will be patient in the face of this test. He says, Satajiduni insha'Allahu minas sabirin. You'll find me from amongst those who make sabr. What kind of reaction can, you know, it even boggles the human mind. But again, I remind you, just ask yourself the question, what did Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam do to, you know, to stimulate such a reaction from a young boy? So nonetheless, he agrees, but, you know, with his father, that we are going to comply to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this is the second lesson that I'm talking about. Eid al-Adha, Qurbani, and Hajj ought to be an occasion when we ask ourselves the question, when we introspect, what kind of a father am I? And what kind of children am I bringing up? What kind of relationship do I enjoy with my wife? Scholars write, when he leaves his son and his wife in this deserted area, which was later to become known as Makkatul Mukarrama, with only one water bag and a small bag of dates, as he leaves, the ulama write, his wife did not object, because she knew Ibrahim alayhi salam's character did not allow him to abandon them. So she goes up to him very politely, I know you won't abandon us, so what is the reason for you leaving us behind? Has it perhaps to do with the command of Allah? So when he replies in the affirmative, she says, إِذَنْ لَا يُضَيِّعُونَا, then Allah will never let us be destroyed. Whilst we will wish for our wives to have responded in a similar manner, Ibrahim alayhi salam enjoyed a special relationship with his wife. He saw to the tarbiyah, he saw to the islah and the reformation of his wife, which resulted in such a response. He saw to the tarbiyah, he saw to the reformation of his son, which resulted in such a response. Eid al-Adha, Qurbani, and Hajj demands of us that we introspect, we look within ourselves and we ask ourselves the question, what kind of relationship do we enjoy with our children? Is there Islamic orientation taking place in our homes? In which path or in which direction are our Ismails heading? Are they heading in the direction of Jannah and towards eternal bliss and enjoyment? Or they are heading towards the path and the direction of Jahannam and towards eternal doom and failure? And what role can we play and what role should we be playing? This is the second lesson in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, which I wish to highlight. So on the one hand, you have this compliance of Khalilullah. You know, he's got a choice before him. Either he submits to the decision of Allah, or he follows the cry of his heart. After all, he's a human being. Allah blesses him with a son after 100 years. And only those who have not been blessed with the bounty of children would understand the emotions going through the heart of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So does he follow the cry of his heart? Does he follow the call of his nafs? Does he follow the dictate of his temptations? Or does he follow the command of Allah? He sets the precedent, he sets the example, and that's the lesson for us. You give preference to the command of Allah over the command of your nafs. So Qurbani is not just simply a monetary ibadah, where you got to take out your 100 rand or your 1,000 bucks and give it for your animal. It's not a duty that can simply be discharged via proxy in a distant land. It is not only some charity for the poor people. It's a personal, intimate, and emotional experience. It is about love of Allah in contrast to the love for the nafs. It is about loyalty to Allah in preference to loyalty towards one family. It is about faith versus emotion. That is the spirit of Qurbani. That is the lesson behind Qurbani. That is the reality of the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. That is the legacy of Khalilullah Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So he is after all the friend of Allah, and you have high expectations of him. But let us look at the sacrifice of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. To talk is easy. It was easier for him to tell his father, I'm willing to submit to the command of Allah. Brothers, let us just reflect as to how this 13-year-old went beyond the call of duty. Scholars write, not only did he fulfill the command of Allah, he showed compliance to the utmost. As they are preparing for the procedure of slaughter, he says to his father, gather my clothing, perhaps the blood will splash. I don't want it to cause unnecessary difficulty to my mother. Imagine you standing in excess of 100 years in age, over your only son with a knife in your hand, and he says, I don't want there to be extra grief to the heart of my mother. Brothers, what would have went through our hearts? Would we be able to go forward and fulfill that command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then he tells his father that bind me and, you know, tie me very tightly so I don't give you a difficult time. Then he says to his father, sharpen the knife to make the process quicker. When it comes to the command of Allah, there must be no delayment. And when you meet my mother, give her my salams. I ask you, my brother, if we were standing there before that 13-year-old of ours, and he had to say, give my mother salams after you slaughter me, what would our reaction have been? Today Allah is not asking us to slaughter our 13-year-olds. Allah is only asking us to slaughter our desires. Allah is only asking us to slaughter our likes, which are not in conformance to the Sharia. If we cannot do at least that much, then how are we going to face Allah on the day of Qiyamah? Scholars write that when he tried to slaughter him the first time, Allah put an invisible copper plate and he could not slaughter. Look at what Ismail alayhi salam says to his father. Turn me around. Perhaps because I'm looking at the knife, I'm hesitant. And perhaps because you're making eye contact with me, compassion is overcoming you. Turn me around and fulfill the command of Allah. There can be no delayment, no negotiation when it comes to the command of Allah. Then Jibreel comes to fulfill his command received by Allah, the command received by him from Allah. And he's in haste, because he's coming with the ram from Jannah and he thinks he's not going to get there in time. So to grab the attention of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. When Ibrahim alayhi salam sees the ram coming as a replacement for his son, he says, La ilaha illallahu wallahu akbar. When Ismail alayhi salam realizes what is happening, he says, Allahu Akbar walillahi alhamd. Brothers, the day of Eid will come, the ayamut tashriq will come. Let it not be just, you know, out of customariness, or, you know, just out of habit, that we say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallahu, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. Let us realize the degree of sacrifice that resulted in these words. So this was the reaction of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. The question we need to ask ourselves, what is our Ismail? On this day of Qurbani, what do we need to slaughter for the pleasure of Allah? Is it our position? Is it our wealth? Is it our profession? Is it our car or home? Is it our quest for fame, pride or power? What distracts us from fulfilling the command of Allah? What, you know, diverts us from focusing on the akhirah? What makes us self-centered? What makes us rationalize for convenience? That is what we need to slaughter on the occasion of Hajj. That is what we need to slaughter on the occasion of Qurbani. Another lesson very quickly that we learn from the life of Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah then mentions Faramma Aslama. And last year on the same occasion, I made mention of this point in this very masjid. Allah mentions after the incident, Faramma Aslama. This word Aslama is the dual form of the word Aslam. It comes from the root word Islam. So we cannot translate it as when the two of them became Muslims, because they were already Muslims. So you look at the literal meaning, Islam means to submit. So Allah says, Falamma aslama, when Ibrahim and Ismail submitted. There is a point for us here to learn and to reflect upon, that when it comes to the command of Allah, you do not put it on the scale of logic and reason. Who can rationalize the command of Allah for a man in the excess of 100 years of age to slaughter his only son? Nobody can do it. But when Allah commanded him to leave his wife and young son there, that led to the establishment of the mother of all cities, Makkatul Mukarramah. In the apparent thirst of a young baby, the creation of the well of Zamzam came into existence. In the apparent abandonment of one spouse and child, the entire Hajj, annual Hajj pilgrimage came into existence. So we cannot understand the wisdoms and the benefits behind the command of Allah. When we say we are followers of Islam, and when we say we are Muslims, it means we submit to the decision of Allah. There is definitely wisdom and benefit, but we cannot always comprehend it. At times or many times, it's beyond our comprehension. So when it's a command of Allah, it's a case of sami'na wa ata'na. We have heard and we have obeyed. Allah will not ask us, did you understand? Allah will ask us, did you comply? Allah won't say, why did I make 5 salawat compulsory? Explain to me. Allah will say, did you perform those 5 salawat? So why worry? Why worry excessively about that for which you are not going to be held responsible? Rather worry about that for which you are going to be held accountable. Today, I mean, if it's to progress in terms of knowledge. And you say, what is the wisdom here? What are the benefits? You want to increase your knowledge, understood. But if it's all the time you're hankering after reason, you want to know why. And this is something which the scholars lament. Every time you tell a person this is the ruling of the Sharia, he wants to know why. How come? But why not like this? Allah is not going to question you. You are not responsible to understand the commands of Allah. You are going to be held accountable in terms of, did you fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ibrahim alayhi salam didn't ask Allah, why my son, not somebody else's son? Oh Allah, why my only son? Others have many children, ask them to do so. Ismail alayhi salam didn't ask and say, why me? I'm only 13 years old. Hajar radiallahu anha didn't say, so much sacrifice, I ran 7 times between Safa and Marwa for this young boy, and now my husband has to slaughter him. When it was the command of Allah, they submitted to the command of Allah. That's the lesson we need to learn. If Allah says your wife gets 1/8 of your estate, then whether we understand it or not, that's the command of Allah. If Allah says you need to grow the beard, then that's the command of Allah. If the Nabi of Allah says your trousers need to be above your ankles, irrespective of what the West says, irrespective of whether the moderates understand it or not, when it comes to the command of Allah, Islam demands, your claim of being a Muslim demands of you that you submit to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In conclusion, respected friends, in conclusion, Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam lived in a society which was hostile to Islam. Intoxicants, gambling, adultery, shirk, these were all the social norms. But he never just sit back, you know. He stood up and he faced these challenges. And as a result, he was subjugated to torture, to abuse, and he was even banished. He was ostracized by his own father. But this is the lesson that we need to learn. Today, Muslims face similar conditions. I don't need to tell you about the challenges that currently face the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of the total refugees in the world at present, 60% are Muslims. That alone ought to speak volumes. The fire of that Namrud, today it comes in another form. The fire of that very Namrud in the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam has engulfed the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The question that we need to ask ourselves, and this is the thought that I leave you with, are we prepared to follow the sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salam, to sacrifice our luxuries, our desires, our wants and our needs, to comply with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are we able or are we willing to withstand the flames of fisk, the flames of promiscuity and immorality that have engulfed the world today, and as a result enjoy the bliss of the garden of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam? When he stood up for the commands of Allah, then even though Namrud catapulted him into that fire, Allah made that fire a garden of bliss. If we stand up for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we don't get this garden in this dunya, then Allah's qasam, we will get it in the akhirah. May Allah make us from amongst those fortunate ones. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.